Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 89 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, as usual. Today, I want to take just a couple of minutes before we get started to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And if you've celebrated it here in the U.S., this comes to you a couple of weeks or a few days after Thanksgiving. I should have mentioned this on the last episode, but I recorded this the day after Thanksgiving, so that's why that's making me think of it. And I just wanted to share with you what I'm thankful for, and that is the fact that you're here listening to this podcast. If you had told me a couple of years ago that we'd have this kind of following and I'd have had as much fun and learned as much as I have done from our guests in doing this podcast, I would have said you're crazy, but you continue to support the show, and I'm appreciative of that. And I just wanted to tell all of you that I give thanks for you being here. Let's keep it going, shall we? Today, we have Carl Bohm. Carl is the founder and chief marketing strategist for a company called Spiral Marketing. You can find them at www.spiralmarketing.com. And Carl's company provides a whole host of services to businesses in the digital marketing space, particularly for medium to large size law firms as well. And I thought it would be interesting to hear his perspective because, you know, I think most of us aspire at some point to grow our firms to a point where we can start and take advantage of some of the really special resources and talents that are out there, such as Carl's company, Spiral Marketing. So we're going to focus in on digital marketing and digital funnel management. But as I said, they do a whole lot more at Spiral Marketing. And I think you're going to enjoy this chat with Carl Bohm. Carl Bohm, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Neil, thank you very much.
I'm delighted to have you with us today, Carl. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today and what Spiral Marketing is all about.
Well, thank you very much, Neil. Really appreciate being on the show, and my pleasure. I am the chief marketing strategist for Spiral Marketing. I'm also the founder. We're going into our third year now. However, I've been in marketing for about 15 years. The company itself, as it stands, we're about 25 people, and we provide services that generally help people get leads and sales from their web presence, usually their website, sometimes other properties, but we help expand that footprint and lead it towards leads and sales. And primarily how we do that is through digital marketing. And within the digital marketing umbrella, we have search engine optimization services, we have social media services, we have digital advertising, or often pay-per-click PPC services. And we do a fair amount of consulting, we do a fair amount of content marketing. So we write newsletters and blogs and white papers, and a fair amount of design and development in between.
Interesting. So what motivated you to create Spiral Marketing? You say you were in advertising for a while. Why this venue?
It's an interesting question. And I also like the way that you phrased it. You asked about advertising, or I think a lot of attorneys think of marketing as advertising, when really advertising is one branch of the tree of marketing, which I think is important to reference, particularly with my background. A lot of people that are in marketing are mixed creatives. And I fall under that category as well. I'll spare you the life story, but I'm something like a fourth generation American, but my mother's mostly Italian. My father's mostly German, hence the name Carl Böhm, named after a German conductor. Anyway, so my father, who is a professional musician, did not really want me to become a professional musician, as they don't get paid that well.
Right.
And I think I was always nurturing both the creative and the more German analytic side.
Well, it's in your blood there with Italian and German.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. They play a tug of war and find a nice balance in marketing, because you really have to be both strategic and creative in order to help solve the problem on behalf of the client.
I think attorneys in particular have been slow to recognize the importance of all facets of marketing as a tool for driving their business, because for so many years, attorneys were literally prohibited from advertising, at least. Other forms of marketing were dictated by tradition and kind of protocol. It was okay to go to your bar association and network there, but it was kind of frowned upon if you went to the state fair and handed out your business cards, that kind of thing. So I think now is the time that law firms and attorneys are starting to exploit or recognize the importance of marketing, and in particular, digital marketing. Are you kind of seeing that in your business structure, or is that wave still yet to come?
Oh, I think you're absolutely correct. I think that a lot of attorneys have woken up to the value of digital marketing, in part because there are such powerful lead generation properties online that attorneys subscribe to. So you probably know those even better than I do, but there are directory services that are becoming very good at letting themselves and marketing themselves and helping attorneys get real leads. So if you talk to certain attorneys that have great reviews online and they are spending a little bit of money, then typically they can talk about the number of leads that they're getting from some web property. And that really is at least one facet of digital marketing.
Yeah, I think the timeline, if you will, for legal recognition of digital marketing is such that I think almost all attorneys now recognize that they need a website, and most of them have a website. Then some of the more forward-thinking attorneys took advantage of search engine optimization and pay-per-click strategies to boost the visibility of their websites. Then we saw more and more attorneys start and address content marketing as a way for organically increasing their visibility via search engines results. And now I think the latest wave that's starting to emerge is the use of video on your websites. We just had Crisp Video, a really cool provider, on a couple weeks ago that cater specifically to providing video for attorney websites. But I think we're still on the edge, on the cusp of law firms recognizing the importance of now digital marketing and all those advantages, such as what you were just referring to as an example, that digital marketing can create for the small business. So talk to us a little bit about then, you know, really, what is digital marketing? Is it something more than just putting up a Facebook ad, or what area does digital marketing span?
Sure. I appreciate the question and the line of thinking. It's one of the most helpful and actionable ways that we talk about digital marketing relates to the digital marketing funnel. Because if you think of a sales funnel, which a lot of folks are more commonly aware of, then it's sort of obvious what that end result is. They're trying to get the sale and they go through the process of helping the customer understand who they are, why they should work with them, and the incentives and the benefits, and then eventually closing the deal. But for the digital marketing funnel, which is an extension of your sales funnel, and it often ends at the in the website or a call and convert a lead conversion from the website. Well, if you zoom out a bit, then you're talking about the channels that feed traffic through the funnel to your website and to your sales funnel. And those channels are some of the topics and services that we just discussed. So social media brings in traffic. It's one of the channels that feeds to the digital marketing funnel. Your email is a channel. Your organic searches are a channel. Your referral traffic and the directories that feed traffic to your website are channels. So though even press and word of mouth could be considered part of the funnel if it ends up being more traffic to your website.
But wait a second, I thought all I had to do was put up a website and include on it a form for booking an appointment to come see me, and that was digital. That's digital marketing. That's all I need, right?
That and the shingle on your door, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is the viewpoint, unfortunately, of a lot of folks, and largely because they haven't had the opportunity to speak with someone like you who can show some practical examples of how those other platforms feed into the funnel and the form on the website to capture the name and email address and maybe book an appointment is really the end result or close to the end result of the funnel and not the beginning.
Right. That's true. Well, the other layer that I think is very helpful in understanding and making your digital marketing funnel more actionable is talking about the customer journey. I'm not sure how many attorneys take psychology. I would hope a lot. At some point in very basic psychology courses, they walk through a behavioral model, which people often just call by ADA, which is attention, awareness, interest, desire, action. So it's the model for action and it relates to consumer behavior. So just to break that down in a way that it's very simple, if you have someone's attention and then they're looking at you, if you have their awareness, then they know who you are. Interest is self-explanatory, desire, they want your services, and they're inspired to act. And that in this case is a call or a conversion on your website. If you think about that process, and you think about what the result is that your customer wants, then you can work backwards or forwards in targeting the right person, empathizing with their situation, giving them the information that they need to understand who you are, why they need your services, why they should convert.
Did someone tell you that I'm a sucker for acronyms? I love acronyms. ADA, A-A-I-D-A, attention, awareness, interest, desire, and action. I love that. Seems to me, just as an aside here, as my brain kind of takes off on a tangent, if I were creating a sequence to send to a warm lead, I could structure each one of my emails along the lines of one of these steps in this acronym. The first being an email designed to create attention, although I may have already gotten that if they're a warm lead. And then the second one being one to address awareness and so on down the line. Is that a typical use for this kind of structure?
Well, I'm glad that you like the formula. I'm also a formula guy. It's beautiful. And to answer your question, it can be used in multiple levels. My knee-jerk reaction to the question was, well, if they're warm leads, then they're closer to the middle or the bottom of the funnel, which means that they're in the evaluation stage, or they're getting closer to a conversion. If it's a warm lead. But that being said,
well, maybe it's an imprecise use of the term on my part. If you set up your whole marketing structure to address this progression, however, you could think of the attention being, you know, the front end to help move them into the funnel, right?
Sure. And I really liked the line, the way that you phrased the question, because I think it's important for somebody to consider the segmentation of where that person is in their buying decision. Because if you have somebody who said, you know what, I'm thinking about getting a proposal from you, or I'm interested in getting a case study, then you know they're really interested. So they're further down the funnel. But the original question with your email and how to use that process is also interesting, because people go through AIDA in just about every buying interaction. So if you could think of the headline as the attention awareness, the subject line that gets them to click on, to get them to open the email in the first place. And then you need to walk them through that same process in the email. If you look at sales pages that you would consider very well written, you will see that they're often linear, and they walk you through a step-by-step process of understanding and building value and motivating you to act.
Yeah. So you could do it all in one message as well. So if you're following that kind of structure, because I think a lot of times what we do is we sit down with a blank piece of paper and we say, gee, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to structure this, or I don't know how to write this. And I like this kind of formula because that at least gives me a starting point. And for different practice areas, the client, the new client that we're chasing after, probably comes in different points. So for instance, you know, if you're a criminal defense attorney, I would think that there are certain parts of this formula that are already ticked off by virtue of the fact that something, you know, bad has happened in your life and you need to find an attorney to help you address it. As opposed to, say, a trust and estates attorney, where you're actually trying to motivate people to do what they probably know is the right thing in the first place, but there's no external, you know, stimulus to cause them to come to your office. So I think you could apply this formula in different ways, different entry points based on your practice area.
Absolutely. Often the more sophisticated a marketing program is, the more that it is segmented into specific customer types, specific targets, specific tracks. So you could think of marketing a bit like a choose your own adventure game for your customer, where you want them to walk through if this is true, then they go there. If this is that not true, then they go there. So you want to give them the options that they want, because if they're on your website, then they are looking for a solution to their problem, and you can present the track, the information, and the pathways to get there.
Yeah, they're not just casually surfing the internet and landed on your attorney website.
Right.
they're there for some reason or another. What's the biggest roadblock that you see with your client, or that you can foresee for legal clients? What's the biggest roadblock they would have to taking advantage of your services?
It's a great question. I've worked with a number of attorneys over the years. Usually we end up working with not the mega attorney firms that have hundreds of attorneys, but usually the firms that have dozens, because if you're a solo practitioner, then typically you just don't have the time. I would say that time is the biggest pattern answer to your question.
Time for the attorney to devote to helping work with you to create the process?
Correct. Usually they even get caught in making a decision because it comes down to, do they want to work on their marketing, or do they want to try and take the calls and the billable time to keep their business moving? And they, even though they're just kind of treading water, that's what they keep doing.
Well, everybody told me that when I went into practice for myself, that I only had to work, half time. That the challenge, though, was figuring out which half of the day I was going to devote to the business. It was more than an 8-hour job. So
I figured there was a joke in there somewhere, but I'm not an attorney, so I didn't want to prod at it.
All right, well that's an old one that everybody else groaned at.
Okay.
So that's interesting because it's kind of a chicken and egg question. If you're a solo or a small firm practitioner, that really is some of the dilemma that we have, because it does take time and it does take resources to devote yourself to properly marketing and advertising your practice. If you don't do it, it's going to be more difficult to bring clients through the door. And if you don't have clients coming through the door, you don't have the resources to spend on marketing and advertising. So it is a challenge. It's interesting that you say that time is the challenge for in your experience, as opposed to money. So I think that's kind of interesting.
Right. Yes. That's true. I don't think that if most attorneys and most legal firms are contacting marketing agencies, that they can't afford the support. That's typically not, most of the attorney firms that I come across, aside from solo practitioners, where maybe they don't have the budget and they're not really our customer particularly. And we can talk about how to help those folks specifically, but those are not typically the folks that I work with just because they can't afford the services, which is fine.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. Well, I think part of the value of having somebody on like yourself on this show is to help us kind of focus our attention and figure out how do we get from A to B. How do we get to be that type of firm that now we can devote more of our resources to hiring professionals like yourself? So you alluded a little bit there to what can solos and small firms do to push this ball further down the field. What are some of the things that you would recommend?
Sure. Well, getting started on your own in marketing is a very helpful practice, I think, for everyone, because it forces you to go out there, see what your competition is doing, define what your mission and vision is, set some goals and objectives, what you're trying to bring in. And then I suggest budgeting time for yourself. I actually suggest budgeting time and money and a schedule. So those three things combine to give a blend where if you're not getting the work that you're setting, your scheduling that you feel you need to do to get your to meet your goal, then you put your money towards that goal. So if you, let's say that your budget is $500 a month and you have 5 hours a week that you're devoting towards your marketing, and maybe that looks like writing blogs, putting out newsletters, putting together some social media, that often sounds either like it should be a piece of cake or it's so daunting that an attorney will know that they need to hire someone out to do that, which either way, great, because it the more that an attorney can be involved in a way that's collaborative and positive is a force multiplier. However, if they find, and usually it's when they find that they're too busy to do the work themselves and it's not bringing in more leads, it's just keeping them afloat and keeping them just busy enough not to grow, then they contact someone like myself and we can help them expand what they're doing and improve the volume and the frequency so that they have more of a marketing machine running for them. So those elements that I described are a good formula for how to get started, in that they should be creating content for themselves. A blog is generally a good idea. A newsletter is generally a good idea. And that way you have a piece of content, a blog or whatever you want to call it, an article you publish on your website to bring back traffic. So that's inbound traffic.
You know, when I started facing this dilemma, I originally said, well, what I'm going to do is find the time within my schedule that I can devote to doing exactly what you suggested. What I ended up discovering was that if I didn't set the time aside, I would never find the time. And so what I did was I set Friday mornings specifically to be that time. And I would work on Friday mornings through lunch on doing exactly what you're talking about, writing a blog, tending to my social media channels, that kind of thing. And so then when it came time for me to bring somebody in to assist with that, I kind of had the structure and the understanding of what they were going to be able to do and help me with, that it made doing it that much easier.
Absolutely. Once you've done the work yourself, you know how extremely valuable it is to free up your time and get somebody who is frankly often better at the work and able to do it even more inexpensively. I think that some attorneys get that really well, in that if their billable rate is $300, $500, and then they can pay an agency $125 an hour to do the work better than they can.
It's cost savings, yeah.
Right, it's a cost savings, exactly. Yeah.
We call it investing in yourself at a cost savings. So I'm a gadget guy, so I'm intrigued by what tools you use. Do you have a suite that you take advantage of or that you like to use on all of your clients, or is it you pick the right tool for the right job for the right client?
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, I'm also a gadget guy, and I think a lot of marketers are, because there are so many tools. For every single service that we offer, there are many, many tools that we can leverage.
Well, that sounds like another entire podcast episode. Why don't we talk about a couple of your favorites then?
Sure. Well, we can talk about a couple of my favorites. I was thinking that we may want to talk about what I think would be most helpful for most attorneys. And I think that would likely be a CRM. Do you know the attorney marketing landscape for CRMs?
Yes. We've had several providers as guests on the show. So there's also emerging in the legal field of both CRMs, customer relationship management systems, or client relation management systems, with practice management software. So a platform like Clio or Rocket Matter or Practice Panther or cloud-based platforms that all have some element of CRM and as well as a practice management. And some of them have other things like billing. And then there's some that are specifically focusing on CRM alone. We've had the founder of Contextually, which you may know of, Zvband. It's a local DC company here that has a wonderful platform for CRM. So yeah, those are the kinds of platforms that attorneys use.
So we could talk a lot about the different technologies. For example, if somebody is too small for HubSpot, which is a common CRM for marketing, and I think the difference between marketing and sales CRMs is important, and one that attorneys may get a little bit hung up on, then I will often recommend Hatchbuck, and Nimble is a good CRM for solo folks. It sounds like you've got some familiarity with them.
Yeah, Nimble has been touted a couple of times on our show.
Well, they're nice because it's, first of all, it was made by John Ferrara, who is one of the godfathers of contact management systems, which is synonymous with CRMs. He made Goldmine, which was the competitor to ACT many, many years ago. But and it's very inexpensive, it's like $15 an hour, $15 a month, and it syncs up with all of your social media so you can see people, even if they're on your Twitter feed. If they're a Twitter follower, then you can see them as a contact in your system. So it's interesting to take a snapshot that way. But going back to the concept of a web marketing CRM versus a sales CRM, I am not familiar with all of the attorney CRMs that you referenced, but a lot of the attorney CRMs that I see are more geared towards facilitating the agreement transactionally, the agreement and the transactions, rather than bringing them through the stages of the marketing funnel.
Yeah, I would think that's absolutely true. Although a couple of them, like Contextually, you can set up an email sequence to take a client or potential client and move them from one phase to another and move them within buckets of classification. So some of them have that as well. How about email autoresponders? Is that interwoven into the process, or am I getting too geeked up?
No, I don't think you're getting too geeked out at all. I think that it's, so what we're talking about, and this is the service that we provide overall, is full funnel management. And it, if we're, you talk about full funnel management, we talked about the top of the funnel, bringing in channels of traffic, but then converting them to each, to, from the bottom, from the middle, from the top to the bottom to the middle, often requires some sequencing like you're describing. Because we're walking them through to get them more interested and not forgetting about us.
And closer to that action point.
Exactly, exactly. So that may look something like sending out a newsletter, or it's rather an email sequence specifically about a divorce service. So if somebody said that they're interested in divorce service from a contact form that they filled out or from a white paper that they downloaded, then the synchronicity between the behaviors that they took on the website and your CRM often makes a difference between what recommendation of what specific software we suggest. So knowing that somebody is interested in a specific service and then segmenting them to get specific email sequences, to be invited to something. For example, you may hold webinars, which is a great way to convert people. And the CRMs have value and features that help you with those, to get those results.
I can hear a bunch of folks out in the audience saying, oh my God, this seems overwhelming to me. I can barely keep up with what I'm doing right now. So It is a challenge, but I think if we don't address these needs and get ourselves to the point where we can take advantage of resources that you offer, that folks like you offer, the small and solo and small firm practitioner is going to kind of get squeezed out of the market because the big boys, the big firms are definitely addressing this concept.
Right, right. And what I often tell the smaller folks is the way they grow is to build thought leadership in a niche. And again, if you can write one article a week, then great. Absolutely do that and use all of your channels to get more traffic, to get the word out about that content. And you will start to see leads and sales increase, assuming that you know what you're talking about. And if you're listening to this show, then obviously you do. That will help you both increase your business and your cash flow so that you'll be more inclined to afford an agency or some help. Exactly. But if you're setting a budget of both time and money, then you're going to see that your time will decrease while your money will increase. And at that point, you'll have the opportunity to get some help and you may need to scale that. So maybe you can't afford an agency in month one, but maybe month one, month two, you get a writer to help you, have a ghostwriter help and a designer to make it look a little bit more spiffy if you're putting together something like a white paper. You'll still have to do more management until you scale up to more like an agency service. And then once you're at that point, you're going to start looking in terms of ROI, what your cost per lead, cost per sale is. What typically happens is when you get a good cost per lead, good cost per sale, then you have no issue cutting checks to agencies because you know that they're providing a tremendous return on the investment.
And you can measure it. You can see where a dollar spent is resulting in 5 or 7 in return, and that makes it a lot easier to deal with.
Exactly.
Well, Carl, listen, I think we could probably go on and on here for another hour or so, but I love what you do. As I mentioned to you offline, you came highly recommended from a number of different sources of buying, so I was delighted to be able to bring you on the show. Tell our audience a little bit about how they can reach out to you or see what your company does and maybe take advantage of what you offer.
Oh, thank you, Neil. And likewise, the same sources that referred me speak very highly of you.
Well, I've got them all fooled.
We'll both be sending them checks after this, right?
Exactly.
Well, you can find me at spiralmarketing.com, and my name's Carl Bohm. It's a famous name if you're German, Carl with a K, Bohm, B-O-E-H-M. And we do provide full funnel management services and digital marketing services as discussed. Spiral Marketing was a podcast, actually, before it was even an agency.
I'm just going to mention that. Yep.
And it still is. We do a monthly show, usually by topical leaders such as yourself. And those topics often relate to marketing in some way, speaking towards entrepreneurs, marketers, and other professionals.
Yeah. One of the episodes I listened to recently of yours was episode 28 that you did with John Jantz from Duct Tape Marketing.
Oh, he's such a great guy.
Oh, my God. It was a phenomenal episode. So, you know, for our listeners, if you want to just get a taste, I mean, Duct Tape Marketing is one of everybody's top 10 books on the subject. And John was a great interview. So you go to spiralmarketing.com to their podcast and blog page. Scroll down till you see episode 28 would be my suggestion and give it a listen.
Oh, I appreciate that, Neil. I appreciate you giving the shout out, and also I appreciate you listening.
Great. All right, Carl. Well, let's get together and do this again.
Perfect. My pleasure.
Thanks ever so much for being a guest on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through the Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.